What is your name?
Linda Reger.
And where do you live?
At 2615 CRU in Sitka, Kansas.
Okay. What's your occupation?
I'm a postal clerk.
And how old are you?
60.
When did you first become aware of the Starbuck fire, hereafter referred to simply as the fire that occurred on March 6th?
I became aware of it about noon, well, between 12:30 and 1:30 is when I became aware of it. I was out walking over my lunch hour and just happened to run into Don White and asked him about, I'd heard the fire sirens go off, and he told me there was a fire over around Inglewood. And so it's just, I knew it was not good because I could see the smoke.
So what was your immediate reaction when you were first told?
I was concerned because of the wind. I knew it was not a good situation for the firefighters.
Did you evacuate?
No. I went back to work. I didn't know we were supposed to, or it was, I didn't even know it was coming towards Ashland.
When did you leave Ashland?
I didn't leave till after 4 o'clock. I was still at work, and I never heard anybody say to evacuate. I saw a police vehicle go down the street in front of the post office going south, but I heard them talking. I didn't know what they were saying. And then actually it was a little before 4, my postmaster, Susan, stepped in the door and said, they've told us to evacuate. And that was the first I knew for sure. People were coming in commenting, but nobody came right out and said, they've told us to evacuate.
So did you know the school had closed early that day?
Yes, because my granddaughter ended up coming up. They called, how did I find out about that? I think, actually, somebody happened to mention it, and I went by the school I called the school, I don't remember which, to verify it, and told them to send my granddaughter up to my work, because I was, she had nowhere else to go. And I was concerned about her running around Ashland with the possibility of there being an issue.
So did you close early?
Not really. I mean, maybe by a few minutes. I had a customer come in that, even though we kept telling her that, I guess I wasn't aggressive enough and said, I'm sorry, you have to go. But, well, to be honest, I wasn't even sure we were evacuating. But she kept taking, took us a while to get her package ready to go. And so it was just shortly before 4. I mean, yeah, just a few minutes before 4 before I finally, she got done. And actually, she got a phone call from her parents saying they needed to be leaving. And that's when she kind of, I got to go, and left. So, and that's when I realized, okay, maybe it's a concern.
Okay, so did you just go home to Sitka?
Well, you mean before I was concerned about what to do with the mail. I stuck everything I could at the post office. Even though I think the protocol is just to leave, I stuck everything I could think of that needed protected. I put it in the safe. And my daughter had come in, and my sister-in-law, and we all decided to go to my house thinking, I wasn't even aware it was coming to Sitka. So we went out to, went back out to Sitka and just were sitting there.
So when did you first notice the fire was coming your way?
About 5:20, my sister-in-law and I were sitting in my kitchen, which is on the south side of our house, and it got very dark. And we commented about the darkness and not really thought too much about it. And then a few minutes later, it lightened up, and Diana commented about the fact that she wondered if my vapor light had come on. And I walked over and looked out my east door and looked up at the vapor light, and it hadn't come on, but I looked on east, and there was a, to me, looked like a fire right there in my pasture to the east of the house. And that's when I kind of got excited and hollered at everybody, get out, get your shoes on. My granddaughter's laying in a chair playing a game, you know, get your shoes on, we got to get out of here. And I knew they had already, I think was evacuating protection, or they'd closed the road. And so we jumped in our vehicles and headed south, and expecting to go to Laverne to evacuate. And when we got to Laverne...
to Buffalo.
Or Buffalo, I'm sorry, went to Buffalo. And when we got to Buffalo, I had needed gas, and I pulled in to get gas, and no more finished getting gas, and they told us to leave Buffalo, and they just told us to head south. They said, don't go east, don't go towards Alva, head south. So we headed towards Woodward.
So what did you take with you when you evacuated?
All I took with me were dogs. I didn't even, I panicked and just grabbed my purse and my dogs.
And what about your phone?
I did have my phone, but it was of no use to me down there. I had absolutely no service for the whole time I was gone.
So how'd you get back in contact with Tricia?
She was... I know what. Went to Walmart. I expected, because when we go to Woodward, my family always goes to Walmart. And so I thought, because my sister-in-law was in one vehicle, Diana and Tricia and her daughter were in another vehicle, and I got separated from them on the way down there in the process of them going around a block and me. I'm not sure how it happened with everybody leaving, but anyway, I got separated. So I went to Woodward. And they, we got there at different times. I went to Woodward, they went to a Dollar General, I'm thinking. And I sat outside the Walmart in Woodward and finally thought, well, I'll go inside and just ask a employee or somebody if they have a phone, because my cell phone had no service. So I walked no more and walked in the door, and Brenda Ketron was checking out at the registers. And I went over to her and asked her if she had service, and she did. And so we called Tricia and let her know where I was at. And so her and Diana came to the Walmart parking lot. And we left without leashes for the dogs. So I went and purchased leashes. And I had 9 dogs with me, and I think I had 1 leash. So I had to go buy 8 leashes. And so we kind of sat in the Walmart parking lot and discussed what to do.
Okay, let's go back. When you left Sitka, what besides the fire that you saw east, what other fires or what did you go through on your way down to the state line? Do you remember any of the...
I remember as we turned and started heading south, I could see a fire that looked to me like I didn't think we were going to get past it. As it turned out, when we went south, there's a curve, kind of goes... a little bit curves east and then goes back south again, and the fire was in the west field. And so we made it past that one, and I really don't remember. I mean, I could see fires burning a long ways off, but that was the only one that was close enough. And I mean, I was amazed at how I've never seen fire that tall or that high. Or I suppose never been that close to a fire, maybe. But it was, I mean, it was close to, it was coming like east of Kenny Domi's house. And it was, I really expected them not to have a house. It was right there.
So when you got in Walmart, did you go out and, what'd you do for supper? What'd you do for a place to stay?
Well, I was totally in denial because I kept expecting to come home. I really didn't, I mean, I guess I knew there was a fire up here, but I didn't know the extent of it. And so we went to, after we sat around at Walmart for a little bit and kind of talked about what to do, and finally decided to go to, I think we went to Arby's, and we went in there and got food, and we ended up, I think we stayed in there for an hour or longer, maybe an hour and a half. Honestly thinking I was going to get to go home at any time, that my husband was going to call me and say, okay, it's clear, you can come home. And about between 9:30 and 10, we decided maybe we'd better find something. And we had heard that the Salvation Army had opened a
Pioneer Room.
A Pioneer Room, yeah. And we found it, and we went in, and actually we were the only ones there. And the person there was very helpful in finding us. My daughter mentioned that we had all these dogs, and she found, called the, it's the dog pound down there, and they were very generous about, I mean, they met us at their dog pound and took our dogs for us. And although all the hotels down there were letting dogs stay for free, they were being very accommodating to the people they knew were being influenced by this fire. I didn't want having that many dogs. I didn't want to have to try to deal with the dogs plus everything else. And I was, they were very, very wonderful at accepting our dogs. And then we went to, I can't remember the name of the first hotel we went to. And it was right there as we came out from where the road that we were on from the dog pounds. It was right there across the street, and we went in. And as I was standing there, a man stepped in the door and said, the Wayfair Inn is letting fire victims have rooms for $10 a night. And I asked the person how much they were charging, and they were charging $50. And I said, you know, sorry, you know, with three of us needing rooms, we had to be, you know, we had to go where we could. And so we went down there, and sure enough, they had rooms, and we rented two rooms. And they were just, you couldn't have asked for nicer people. They were just very...
Yeah, nice. So, okay, we spent the night. But first, did you tell anybody where you went?
When we were leaving... Well, as soon as I saw the fire to the east of the house, I did call 911, and I said, you know, told her where I was at, and a woman answered the phone. I told her where I lived and that there was a fire east of my house, and she asked if we were able to get out, and I said, yes, I think we can go. I said, we're going to go east, or go south. We're going to go towards Buffalo. And then I did call my husband as we were leaving, and just... In the few minutes I got to talk to him, just said, told him we were headed to Buffalo. I don't know, to be honest, I'm not sure how he ever found out we ended up in Woodward, if he...
I called him.
So,
but then, did you have a time to talk to him to find out where he was or
no.
What he was doing? You just told him that you were leaving?
Being the fire chief, he was very, very busy, and all it was okay. That was all I got out of him. And I knew that, you know, I didn't have time to, you know.
Did you call any other family members?
I didn't. I just called David and headed out.
And I called him at 10:30 to tell him where we were at, which motel we were at. Probably when you went to Walmart to get clothes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So we spent the night. Got a text at 6:30 in the morning from Dr. Luann that kind of woke us up. And you said something about the dog pound you needed to go pick the dogs up?
They had told us the day before they were open from 12 to 1, but that they did go feed the dogs somewhere around 8 o'clock. And so, hoping to get home, and I knew I needed to get back to work, actually, as soon as possible. When we woke up, I was hoping to go get the dogs. And when, Diana was looking on her computer and roads were still closed into Kansas, she was showing me a fire that actually looked like it was it was Sitka burning, and I assumed my house was gone. Shortly after she told us that the roads were closed and showed me the fire, Tricia stepped in the room and she said, they've opened the roads into Kansas. And so we just jumped in the car and ran and got the dogs. And we...
Do you remember what time you left to go home?
From Woodward?
Uh-huh.
It was probably about 9, let's see, I was at work by 11, almost 11, so I'd say it was about 9 o'clock, between 9 and 9:30 when we left Woodward.
And then we stayed and ate breakfast,
right.
And then you went on because you had to be to work by...
Well, I was just trying to get to work as soon as possible. Yeah. I just called, I hadn't even talked to Susan.
So did you still have a house?
I did. I got home and it had just burnt the west side of the highway, and the three houses on the east side of the highway, right there in Sitka, or north and south, and the one in Sitka had all survived.
Did you lose any property?
No.
Do you have any electricity?
No.
So how long was your electricity off?
3 days. 2 days. 2 days.
So when you turned the Sitka corner and went toward town, what was your reaction to what you saw?
I think I was in shock. I don't think it even registered. I was so focused on trying to get to work and thinking about, everything that had happened, that I really didn't, I kind of saw it, but it wasn't registering. It was later when I came home after work that I just couldn't believe it. I mean, it was just nothing. Black everywhere.
When you got to work, what did you have to do? Did you have mail?
We had mail. I just started working the mail and just normal everyday postal duties. That wasn't a day because at that time we were covering the Englewood post office, so I was going over there quite often. But that wasn't a day I had to be at Englewood. So I just...
Was somebody at Englewood?
Probably, yes. Scott from Plains.
He's
a clerk in Plains.
Could he do anything? Did they have electricity over there?
No, I don't think they did. We were having to do all of his reports at Ashland. I think it was a couple of days before they had electricity, too. And Ashland, the post office, or Ashland, the city of Ashland, had electricity. So basically we just kind of lived in Ashland for a couple of days. Just didn't go home except at night to sleep.
So did you volunteer after the fire?
I went to the firehouse and just did what I could, just made up sandwiches, handed out food to the firemen that were coming in, helping, and that was about all the volunteering I did. I would just...
How many days?
For three.
Like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday?
Yeah, we came back Tuesday. Yeah, I was there Tuesday.
Did you ever take advantage of the meals that were being prepared at the school at the camp or at the church?
I did at the school. They told us a family had come in and was making a Mexican dinner, and we did go over for that. I never did go to the camp or the church for a meal.
So how would you describe your emotional response to the fire, like, after the fire or during the fire? And have you had a chance to kind of deal with those emotions?
I think, like I said, when I first came back, I was in shock. I just couldn't believe it. And then when I found out, especially, because quite a few people that lost homes, I knew, and that was real hard. Every time I would go to Englewood, I would cry on the way home because it was, over there, it was just like sand dunes. I mean, I think it was, I don't know if it's their land over there, but it was, it just looked, I didn't know if it was ever going to come back.
The wind blowing?
Oh, yeah.
Dirt?
Yep.
What about the landscape?
Kind of, that's just it. It looked like, Remind me of what the desert would look like. It was so bad over there.
Did you see dead animals?
I didn't see many dead animals. I think because mainly I was on the highway. I was kind of surprised at, like, the turkeys that were over at Inglewood. I was like, well, how did they survive? I was surprised about within 3 days, you could see green coming up between Ashland and Sitka. You know, I could see, and I was shoots of grass coming up. I was just amazed. But for a long time, over in the Inglewood area, you just wouldn't, to be honest, I wasn't sure it was ever going to come back, but it has. You just, over there now, you can't hardly tell that they have had a fire, other than the trees. The trees, you know, are definitely still looking bad. Lots of...
So when you were driving back and forth to Inglewood, did you see a lot of fire trucks that had come to help those days?
I don't think I must have had to help in Inglewood for a couple of days that week, because I really didn't see many fire trucks out and about.
When's the first time you got to see your husband?
Let's see. Tuesday when I was coming back, I didn't see him. I talked to him on the phone. As soon as I kind of was watching my phone as I was driving, trying to see when I would get service. And he has a pasture south of Sitka that he takes care of. And that is the only live fire I saw coming home from Woodward, is the fire right there. And it was coming straight for his pasture. And as soon as I got cell phone service, I called and told him. You know, I said, I'm back headed home, and there's a fire coming straight for your pasture. And all he could say was, nothing I can do about it. You know, he didn't even tell me where he was at. He was fighting fire somewhere else. I mean, they had to protect homes and the towns. And I don't think I saw him. I might have seen him that night. I think the firemen finally started coming in about 10 or 10:30 Tuesday night into the Ashland Firehouse while I was there. And that's when they started bringing in, that's when help from other towns and states were showing up. And so the Ashland firemen were able to start kind of taking some breaks. But that's the first time I remember seeing him, was Tuesday night. And I didn't even call him or talk to him through the day. I knew he was focused on trying to get fires taken care of, so I didn't even try to communicate with him.
So since you didn't have any electricity at your house, how did you clean up to go to work every day? Came to my house.
Tuesday. Went to Diana's house. And I was trying to think if we had, because it seems like, that would be Tuesday. We just went and cleaned up at the house and at Diana's. And seems like we went back. Oh, no, Thursday we were taking a chance that we were going to have electricity. And
you did, didn't you?
You know, I'm thinking that we got home and we didn't. I don't think we had electricity Thursday. I think it was Friday before we got the electricity, because Thursday we came home and our neighbors to the south of us, Hazen's, had electricity and we didn't. Because I was thinking as I was driving home, oh, good, I can get a shower. And I got home and there wasn't, and we didn't have electricity. And David got up the next morning right away and called. And there was something in our area, I guess, on our poles. But, yeah, we didn't have electricity till Friday morning.
But as far as any physical or financial loss at your house, there really wasn't any?
No. We tried real hard not to open any, you know, we knew since we were in town. They had sandwich making materials at the firehouse, so that's what I was just eating there. And so we tried not to open the refrigerator at all, or the freezer. And so we didn't really, everything pretty well stayed.
What's your most vivid memory?
I don't know. There's, when I think about it, there's just, you know, I can remember. I think my most vivid is thinking, not even realizing it was coming to Ashland. One minute I heard that, coming to Sidkut. One minute I heard on the, because we have a fire scanner, I heard that they were at Bozidon's fighting fire. And the next minute I was looking out the window and we had fire at just east of the house. And I just...
Do you have any idea what time that was?
Well, I would say about 5:30. Between 5:30 and 6. Because I know when it got really, really dark, we looked at the clock and it was about 5:20.
Yeah.
And we should have known something was not right then. But
what were some of the, or who were some of the people or agencies that proved most helpful with the fire?
That I saw was probably the school. There were so many people bringing, just from everywhere, bringing supplies and bringing them to the school and to the firehouse. But to me, what I saw was the school helping the most. You know, being involved with the firemen, they housed the firemen, they fed the firemen, and that's what I saw at first, was the school being really, it was the week after spring break, or
before
spring break, and they even closed, they didn't have school, so that they could take care of the firemen.
So what was your reaction to all these firemen that came in? How'd that make you feel when you saw these strike teams?
I was just amazed. I was thankful, you know, because Tuesday night when I saw those guys, our firefighters, you could tell they were just totally exhausted. I don't know if they could have gone on much longer. And it just amazed me where they came from.
So they got sleep Tuesday night?
Yes.
But they got up early and went back out?
They were told.
Wednesday?
They were told. I'm not sure what time. I don't know how many of them abided by this, but they were told they were supposed to go home and not come back for 8 hours. They were told Tuesday night. And I don't know how many of them did that, because I know it's hard.
Who told them? The command?
Command center, yeah. Told them, you're off duty and we don't want you, you know, we don't want you back for at least 8 hours. And
so what kind of things did they do on Wednesday that you're aware of?
The firefighters?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think mostly they were taking strike teams to different places to fight fire, you know, showing them how to get to places and helping, of course, helping to fight the fires, but they were, they had groups that were just taking strike teams out with them to show them where everything was at, how to get into places, because some of these firefighters that came in had never fought fire like this, had never, their firefighting techniques were a lot different than ours, and so they weren't even aware of how to fight this kind of fire, and
Do you have any history in your family of big wildfires or fires like this in the past, or just mainly prairie fires that we've, small ones?
Yeah, no, I've never had any of my family members talk about it that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
And even, you know, a lot of times when you have something like this, it will bring it out. You know, they'll start talking about stuff like that. And I haven't been around any, of course, I don't know that I've been around any of my older relatives. for any of them to tell me stories, but I haven't heard of any fires. Of course, I don't think too many of my relatives were, on my side of the family, were ranchers or farmers, and so to have to deal with anything like this.
So when the volunteers started coming and the hay started coming into town, did you have any contact with those people?
Mostly just waving at them as they went by. I would, they would usually go down Main Street, and of course I was at the post office every day, and when I got a chance I'd go out and wave at them, but I really didn't talk to too many of them personally.
Did you go volunteer at the camp or
no.
any place? Did your family have any volunteers help with any fire damage that you might have had?
My husband had a cousin from Inman that they were sending a group down that were going to help, and they called David and asked him if he, because they wanted to help more than just David, and so David put him in touch with our neighbor who found out hadn't had any help either. And so they came down and tore out fence for us, and Matt Wilson also, and I'm thinking that's, I don't know that they built any. I think they just tore it all out, but they said it was basically just get out of their way and let them do it. They were so efficient at it. Trying to think.
So you remember how many came?
20 some.
Bring their own equipment?
23, they did. They brought they brought wire wrappers, but I also had them, heard them say that the younger boys in the group were rolling it up faster than their rollers could roll up the old wire. But yeah, they brought in four-wheelers and skid steers, and of course I'm sure brought their own pliers and stuff.
So they take the posts and the wire with them when they left, or how did they dispose of it?
I don't know what they did with it.
I know they cleaned it all up, but where they did with it. So, can you perceive of anything positive that's resulted from this fire?
I think it's made, I think it benefits the land to be burnt off, and we've got very good, and thank God for rain. I mean, we've had lots of rain since the fire, which is, made a world of difference. So we've got appears to be good crops, good grassland now. But I think it's also brought out, it's made people see the good in a lot of, it's been amazing how many people have come to help us out, and it's also made people more aware to help other people, because we've had fires in other places that we have. I think part of it is because we've been through this. We've sent stuff to help them out also, so a lot of good has come of it, but it's definitely cleaned the land up.
What about people helping people? And
oh, yeah.
Were you amazed at the way the agriculture community came out and helped? Were you aware they were that way or did that kind of stuff?
I guess I knew that they did, but I was kind of surprised from how far away we had help, and most of it was just people helping people, not government, not, big business or, I know there's been some big businesses that have donated and sent stuff to us. I mean, I'm not saying they haven't helped, but it's just the common farmer rancher. We talked to people that were just a couple coming back from Florida. I think they were in their motorhome, and they got to Missouri and heard about us, and they just drove on over, and they were here for a couple of weeks, just living in their motorhome, helping whoever they could find to help. It just, I mean, there's good people out there, and it's hard, you know, you seem to forget that sometimes.
So what can you do or have you done to prepare for another emergency? Have you thought about what you do different?
Well, I would take clothes with me. I would definitely not, like I said, I was totally in denial. My daughter and her, brought clothes for her and her daughter. My Diana brought her computer, brought a laptop, brought her jump drive. You know, she brought clothes, but I guess I never realized that anything like that could happen. And so I'd definitely be a little better prepared when I left. And I don't know whether I would have moved quicker, because really it could have been a lot worse than it was with us waiting as long as we did. But we got lucky that the direction we were going, either the fire hadn't gotten to it yet or
the wind shifted.
The wind, yeah.
So what about the community? How can it prepare better in the future?
Well, I think, I don't know whether, because I feel like our firemen are well trained. I don't know whether there's equipment they could have had that would have helped them out. I did actually hear a comment made that the fact that we didn't have as many firefighters as or fire equipment, that maybe that saved some lives because we couldn't be some places where they could have gotten into troubles. But I don't know, because I think our strike team was prepared for like floods and tornadoes, but they'd never trained on fires. So I think I know they're probably doing that training, learning what to do. But I know they're giving classes on things like, you know, how to plant or what not to plant in your yard, or not to plant bushes and stuff close to your house, and things that I'd never even thought about. And now I do kind of look around my house and think about that. But.
So do you have any other thoughts about this experience that you'd care to share?
Not that I can think of.
What type of things did you tell your family that lived away from here about what you had experienced?
Well, that is one thing maybe I would have done better, is I did not stay in communication with my family, with my immediate family. Not being on that end of it, you know, I have discovered that they were very concerned, and we weren't communicating with them because I had no phone service. And I think that I would do different. I would try to keep them more in the loop better. I have kind of just sat back and listened to stories because I keep, even to this day, I hear things that happened to my husband, to my son, who helped fight the fire, to other firemen that I wasn't even aware of. So I haven't told them a whole lot about, other than, you know, I've just told my family how much, you know, I kept thinking, oh, this isn't happening. We'll be going home in, you know, any time now. But I think I've done more listening to what other people have been telling than talking about much about it.
So has that kind of helped you make sense of the whole fire, or does it scare you?
It's kind of a kind of amazed me that, because there's been so many stories that you know that God had to be involved. People couldn't have made it through situations without help. You know, there was a lot of good things that happened to us, you know, to me personally, because we got out in time, we got past, we didn't run into any fires. You couldn't have asked for better people in Woodward when we were down there. They were, everybody we encountered was just as helpful as could be. For being as devastating an experience, it was you saw a lot of good come out of it in things that happened for us. So,
anything else? Any other stuff?
Not that I can think of.
Anything that really struck you after it's all over that, oh, that could have been bad, or oh, that was good, or...
Well, there's a lot of things that have struck me that if it had gone a little different, it could have really been bad. We lost one life in the whole situation, and I have discovered that there were people that had tried to stop this trucker, told him, you know, do not keep going, and he just, you know, that would be frustrating to know that you'd tried to stop somebody and then have something like that happen to him. It's just some of the stories I've heard about people that just had one story about a guy that just, a man and his son were trying to call cattle, and they just kept honking their horns, and the son finally says, we've got to get out of here. And it wasn't very long, and two people on a horse came out of the smoke, and the only reason they made that was the horn. Didn't hear that one till like weeks after the fire. I mean, you hear amazing stories every day of how people survived that really shouldn't have. I mean, just by the grace of God, they're still here. And, you know, even though we did lose homes, we, you know, those can be rebuilt.
Yep. So, anything else? Okay.
No.
Thank you for your time and for sharing your experiences with us.